Hello and welcome to the Round 14 Super Footy Podcast, a round that ends, Smarty, with Collingwood back in the top four for the first time since Round 12, 2015. Can you believe it? After all the pressure they were on. Johnny Ralph, Nick Smart, Pies are in good shape.
It's a big moment, Ralph, isn't it, for the Pies? You go back to last year with Bucks and now they're in the top four. It just shows you how hard work the year before. It can turn, can't it, Ralph, as we've seen this year with Collingwood so far.
That's right. I'm not sure whether we were wrong about Nathan Buckley, but maybe he realised.
You were wrong. I backed him in all the way.
Oh, you did not.
You did not.
But he's changed things. He's added real speed to their front half. He's tinkered with them. He's also got Hyde in there in Mason Cox. He's backed himself in. The players are clearly playing for him. And I think it's inescapable that Collingwood can win the flag.
Well, they got a good run home, yeah. Gold Coast, and then five games at the G.
An absolute elite ruckman in Brady Grundy, who was a monstrous on Sunday afternoon. You know, they've got a strength in those small forwards. They've got an outstanding back line. We might talk about Darcy Moore and whether he can slot back in there at some stage. And so, look, they might not be the best side in the competition, but as we've seen with Richmond and the Western Bulldogs, you can find 6 weeks of great footy.
No, they can't win the flag. No chance.
Why is that, mate?
Because they're just not good enough.
Well, I think that,
but they're very much improved team.
Look, I think the query on Collingwood is their forward structure. Their number one forward target at the moment is a kid in his first year, Jaden Stephenson, who's absolutely flying. But
Cox is a forward target.
He is, but I think Stephenson's playing out of full forward.
It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I've got a beef with Jaden Stephenson. He has ruined the Rising Star competition. Because 3-4 weeks ago, we thought maybe it might be Chera, or maybe it might be Tom Doty, or maybe it might be a couple of other kids out there. Brayshaw, he has been astonishing, hasn't he? To kick 21 goals in the last 10 games, I mean, if he's going to kick 40 for the year, who else out there has had such an impact in a short space of time? I'm trying to think of key forwards. Yeah, you look at someone like a Chris Grant or you know, who else has come in and been able to do what he did? I know
Chris
that
Judd, 2002 is Chris Judd, that comes to mind.
Yeah, but as a forward, and I know Chris Grant's a different forward from him, but to be able to come in with all the questions over his heart.
He's a beauty.
Goalless
in his
first 3 games.
If he didn't have the heart, would he have gone higher?
Well, Shifter Sheen has always said that he'd go pick one. And so, you know, I think he's doing things that we have not seen a young kid do for a very long time. And he's only getting better. And he's not feeling the effects of a long year. That's why I think that they can win the flag.
I agree.
But DeGoey was quiet. Thomas was quiet. And yet Stevenson bobs up, and Will Hoskin-Elliott bobs up. Astonishing.
And they dodged a bullet late in the game. We thought Adam Treloar had done his hamstring, but it actually turns out he's had cramp in both hammies, can you believe it?
I'm not convinced.
Not convinced? You think there might be more to it?
I was down there watching it. I was right on the boundary. It was one of those ones where you really overreach. Is that the word?
Overstretched, yeah.
Overstretched, that was the word. And they were working on it, I reckon. Look, he obviously knows better than I do, but it just had the signs of a slight hammy.
Can they get to premiership, good enough for a premiership, Mick, with the introduction of Darcy Moore and also Jamie Elliott? Now, those blokes have both did their hamstrings. It's 6 weeks ago now.
Yep.
Nathan Buckley said at the post-match press conference, when he comes in, he'll play VFL. That didn't sound like he's going to play this week. So whether they've found the underlying problems, whether Darcy Moore can get back into that side.
As a defender, he could.
Yeah, or potentially in Brody Mychek's position. But even the fact that they're just throwing up weather, does that mean that he will not get the big contract he wants? Does that mean that the Sydney Lynx are there again? I don't know. I just think it's an intriguing situation.
There's a lot of big questions there. And with Darcy, they're looking pretty solid down back. I wouldn't be surprised if Bucks decided to throw him back forward, as not as the main man, but as a, you know, second, third forward up there. He won't get as much attention now that Stephenson's flying. Mason Cox is providing a target. He might go back forward. We might see. But then again, it's still a long way to go.
Has he got anything to worry about with the Greenwood
thing?
Cox were going at each other.
We love that. And I love the fact that he's a bit of an agitator and is really trying to fire up Cox. And he would have thought to himself, this bloke was strutting around. He's on good terms with himself. I'll get into it. But he did concuss Levi Greenwood. Now, last year or the year before, he would absolutely certainly have been suspended for that hit because he went for a bloke, jumped off the ground. In some way, whether accidental or not, he concussed him.
So this is now, the unintended Brian Burton.
Well, exactly, but at least Burton had the ball. So, you know,
Burton had the ball.
At least Higgins had the ball. So in this case, he might say, well, what was I supposed to do? I was checking his run. I couldn't tackle him. He didn't have the ball. Yet another test case for Michael Christian. Yet another really devilishly difficult situation for Michael Christian.
What do you think? You've seen him?
I still reckon you should be responsible for the contact in any incident.
Yep.
Where you initiate the contact, you, to want of a better word, you know, make a beeline for a bloke, and he's concussed.
But concussion is too important. The precedent's there. from the Burton one. So I take your point. It's the same as the umpire. Once you do one rule, we've got to move on, Smarty. Carlton.
I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. I think we shouldn't. We shouldn't go past this game without talking about the Blues. Definitely showed a bit of spirit, didn't they, Ralphie? And Charlie Curnow, what a beauty he is.
Yeah, kicked 5 goals in round 1, 3 goals about round 10. And as good as he's been, you know, his goals weren't up there. He hasn't maybe capitalised, but that was another breakout performance.
They're talking about the Jezelenko mark, but it was the other one that was better.
Yeah.
The big Wayne Carey, like, pack mark.
Yeah, we haven't seen that for a long time.
He's a gun and...
I just keep thinking about this.
800,000, he's served that up.
Yeah, no doubt. You just keep it. And that'll be cheap in 4 years, and maybe there's some triggers built into it. But look, when I spoke to those close to him, they basically said he wants to be able to build a premiership list. So, you know, he could have demanded 1.2 and got it. That shows the kind of character for this bloke.
Yep.
He's the kind of bloke who is going to do that on maybe grand final day. But you watched himself and Jaden Stevenson.
He's got a lot of teams in the grand final.
Well, in 5 years. But there are blokes who are made for the big stage.
No
the
doubt.
Cooters or the Croswells or the Wayne Johnsons. Yeah. A lot of McCartan.
His mate Cripps is a star as well.
Yeah, and one day he'll be doing that in grand finals.
Are you happy with the Sauce media rounds over the weekend?
Has
he left you convinced?
I'm not sure that he said anything that captivated me. But I think a lot of Carlton fans all of a sudden thought, at least we're getting an explanation.
Yeah, talking to the fans. Yep.
Yeah, so that's the message. That's the message for all those clubs that are downtrodden and battling away. Mm. Don't go and hide, whether it's the Western Bulldogs, and they try to do it with you, Mick, and it backfired a little bit with Chris Grant. But get out there on the front foot. They spoke to you, yes, and then they were criticised for saying they couldn't win the flag again and they knew it was coming. But my point, get out there and tell your fans things. Your fans are smart. They just want to talk about it. What about quickly with Carlton? If they do give up their first round pick, it'd be crazy to do it just to try and get picks 10 and 13. But would you do it for a Dylan Scheel? If Dylan Scheel said, you know what, to GWS, I'm going to come back at the end of next year. You can get Jack Lekosius or you can swap it with a couple of Adelaide Stars.
Adelaide would be keen to get pick 1. So there's business to be done because this kid Lekosius.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
I reckon there will be wheeling and dealing around a three-way. So if Scheel's coming home. Is Scheel coming home?
Well, Scheel has said that
he
will...
Is this year or next
year? No, he's out next year, and he said that he will finish out his contract there. But I think there's a lot of people close to him who would say he will be home, whether it's next year or whether it's 2 years down the track.
And speaking of contracts, Ralphie, a big one today out of Adelaide?
Yeah, outstanding.
Tom Lynch?
Yeah, Tom Lynch signed a 3-year deal. He'd been lowballed, offered something like $500,000 over 3 years, which was not great for a bloke who's been in the All-Australian 40 the last 2 years. And so, look, you know, people close to him are saying, you know what, he just loves the club. And so rather than there being some massive increase in the offer, that's just an extraordinarily loyal bloke who clearly saw what was happening and saw that the culture of the club and the vibe and it was off.
Yep.
And he's made a stand and said, no, I want to stay at this football club. And that's as loyal a decision as anyone has ever made this year to say, if I hold out to the end of the year, I'll probably get 700 or I might get 800 in Melbourne, and yet I'm prepared to stay for less. I thought that was such a selfless decision.
So why did his club, Adelaide Crows, call a press conference for 3 p.m. on Saturday during a rival game to tell us something
curious
they could have done in a press release?
I don't think they could do it in a press release. I think they've been really heavily criticised for doing it. I thought that was fantastic. It's a circuit breaker. You tell the truth, all the stuff and nonsense
they
haven't
actually
done.
Said
No, they talked about the specifics. There was a lot of talk of a whispering campaign with Eddie Betts, and was his phone taken away from him?
It was, wasn't it?
Well, they said he didn't have his phone. Look, I'm not saying that the answers were perfect, but at least they tried to address them.
Why 3 o'clock on a Saturday?
No, I can't defend that aspect of it. You do it on a Friday morning, or you do it on a Monday morning, or whatever it is, and maybe they thought, if we can do it on a Saturday, people will talk about it for the weekend, but come Monday, we'll have clean air.
Or is it a bit of taking out the trash, as they like to say?
That's a 5:30 dump before a massive Friday night football. No, look. You're saying they shouldn't have done it? Saying they should have just kept lying like they have been for 15 weeks?
I just think you put out a press release saying we've cut ties with collective minds.
It was one of those prime ministerial press conferences. You say, I'm here, I will ask every question.
But they didn't.
What didn't we get answers on?
We still don't know whether players were kidnapped or they were blindfolded, whether we heard song.
They said we played the Richmond song once. If it was me, I would have liked them to play it again and again and again. They said there was a cultural stick that was used once. Mm. Players were, look, I'm not saying that all the players were as happy as they painted them to be, but they answered every question about it. And It shouldn't have been at 3 o'clock on whatever it might be. Doesn't mean it's going to change things. But, look, you got to admire him for fronting up for the first time.
A lot of weird stuff's happening at that footy club. I reckon Mulder and Scully would be thinking that might be a place worth going to.
I don't think we've heard the end of it, too. It's an ongoing bizarre story what's happened to the Crows this year. I think it'll continue to drag on.
Have you got any take on what happens to Rory Sloane?
Well, the longer it goes, the more you think that he's going. I don't know anything about it, but Hawthorne's the word that you hear.
Well, both of you had to place your money on it right now. Would your money be gone?
Although, no, I don't know. I've spoken to people in Adelaide who've always said he will stay. He's always stayed. He's always waited till the end of the year. And so, until something different happens, I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Another club that knows its way out of a saga is Essendon. Yes. No one gave them any chance.
Took them 5 years to get out of that saga, Mick.
But great win over there in Perth, albeit Kennedy and Darling not playing.
They're up and about right from the word go, and West Coast just didn't want to go with them, did they? And she's Bell Chambers, Devin Smith, Zach Merritt. Yeah. Geez, they just looked different players, didn't they?
No, no doubt. Look, I'm a Jack Stringer. Smashed him, and all of a sudden his midfield time's good.
Looks
he's
fitter.
Big goals. Yeah. He looks fitter, doesn't he? He looks engaged. The youngsters are coming through. And I just think that can get even better.
Can they maintain that, do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Andrew McRae's had a pretty quiet year, and so I think he will be able to be improved. Kyle Langford for the first time got clearance as well as possessions. Yeah, I think clubs are going to get on these little mini runs. So if you can win
can
5 out of 6.
Eight?
Of course they can make the eight.
It's an intriguing game they've got this week. Sunday, North Melbourne at the Dome. That's a good game.
Intriguing. And so you look at Hawthorn, Adelaide.
Yep.
That's the 8-pointer. If Adelaide lose that, they can't get through.
Yep.
You think if Essendon lose it, all of a sudden they're probably 2 games behind the 8 ball.
Mm.
One of North Melbourne or Essendon are going to make the 8.
Yep.
Not both of them.
Is West Coast vulnerable for top 4 now, Ralphie?
Well, the Tigers are up and about.
Two in a row.
No, I don't want to. You don't want to make Adelaide rash judgments on one. Just annihilation.
Two losses
in a row. But that was putrid. I mean, I understand that their star forwards won't be back for a couple of weeks, but that was effort based.
It wasn't just about
the fact that they had two of their best players out. Like Tom Barras is out too with a back injury. But I'm not
the
jumping
Crows
off West
this
Coast
week.
Yet.
Mm. Big game for them.
Crows against West Coast. Yeah.
Thursday night should be the game of the season.
Is it the grand final preview?
Well, potentially, but
Richmond,
why it's
Sydney.
At Etihad Stadium is Matt beyond me. Mm.
Thursday or Friday?
Tigers fans, will they know how to get to the Dome? You think they'll have to look it up?
They played North Melbourne there earlier this year. But it's just a joke that, seriously, you got a contract to play this game. The AFL bought Etihad Stadium, so they bought that contract.
Mm.
There is zero reason that this game should be at Etihad Stadium.
I can't disagree with
you. It should have been demolished.
Is it because it's midwinter and they thought you might get 55 to it?
It's the 45-46 contract.
So, but I thought they didn't have a contract.
Well, they do. They've inherited the contract and they're honouring it.
They're honouring their contract to themselves.
Well, exactly. It's ridiculous. But anyway, who wins?
Richmond, Sydney. Oh, Richmond. I can't see even at the Dome. I know they love the G, but I just think it's Richmond. How far, to be honest, this season at the moment?
Thank you very much.
I don't know who beats them on the G in September. I know. So we're going a bit far ahead. We're talking about this game, but at the moment, I can't see Richmond not winning the premiership.
The winner is in great shape of this one for the top two.
Mickey, why are we discounting Sydney? I don't know.
They've
won 5 in a row,
and they play well at Etihad.
I just think Richmond are amazing team, personally.
Richmond's win over Sydney, over Geelong, was so impressive,
wasn't
it?
I mean.
Love their build in the next couple of years, given the kids in the VFL. But no, I think everyone's discounting Sydney. They're just going to come out and at some stage and get a big scalp, and whether that's the Tigers.
We talk about integrity in the fixture. I just seriously cannot believe this is not at your own home ground.
We do see it a little bit, but you're right. But unfortunately, the integrity of the fixture is this is what happens, isn't it?
Mika, the Tigers are a long way ahead, do you reckon, of where they were last year?
Yes, as a team they are, but there's other teams that are also a long way advanced from where they are.
That's a fair point.
Mm. Injury is going to be the key. What is happening with Cyril Rioli, Ralphie?
Glenn McFarlane wrote a great story in the Sunday Herald Sun in which he really indicated that he might be very very keen to come back, and he might be back pretty quickly. So Hawthorne hasn't confirmed it, but there was some talk around that he might be back early in this week.
Gee, wouldn't that be big?
Yeah. Now,
can
of course,
they make a run at it?
Definitely.
Can they make a run? With Cyril back. So Cyril will have missed 2 weeks. I assume he's done a little bit of training up there, so you'd think he'd probably... Cyril don't play VFL, does he? But
no. Well, he might have to play a couple. But their draw is as generous as any.
Yeah.
and they're just percentage out.
I've said it all.
The master coach.
I've said it all year. They just seem to fly under the radar for mine. And big Giants this weekend on Saturday night up there.
Yeah, and that's, again, another one of those 8-point games.
Yep.
Big game. One of their players said to another one of their players after the game before last, did that feel to you like the premiership years?
Ooh.
And he said, yeah, that felt for the first time we're playing like we did in those premiership years.
Yep.
We're moving the ball like that. Now, let's not get too excited about their win over Gold Coast. You know, they were tardy early, but... With just James Sicily marauding through, through our back.
Isaac Smith is
Isaac Smith outstanding. So Jago Mira getting long goals.
Mm.
They're going to get Mitchell there first. But...
And as we know, they're brilliantly coached. You cannot discount them.
Yeah, Jeremy Cameron, Mick.
I hate the Tassie people who come out and say, "Oh, the crowd didn't turn up to watch the Gold Coast."
Who are you talking about?
Tom Brown,
your mate, was leading the charge. He got put in his place. Smarties, mate.
Oh yeah,
my mate.
As if the Tasmanian people are obligated to go and watch that crap.
It's Saturday at 1:45 when they've got community football there and state league. And
if you want to talk crowds in expansion markets, Tom. 7,000 went and watched Gold Coast Giants, so give us a spell.
No, he did get put back in his box for that one. Jeremy Cameron, speaking of GWS, what does he get, Mick?
Oh, well, not as many as you've got. You've been smashed by a few, but I don't agree with you that it was a thuggish act. To me, a thug act is Bug or Barry
it's
Hall.
A flush blow to the
elbow.
It was a careless,
reckless in-play incident, but it doesn't quite get to the thug act.
Jonathan?
I called it a callous act, and I said that if we are to consider thuggish acts, we should consider a red card. So, look, if he had body-lined the ball, if it would have been a bang-bang collision where, you know, he had chested him and had caused a lot of damage, we'd just say play on. But I felt like, you know, the elbow was cocked so far in advance.
Got him flush.
Felt like he was never going to get near that ball. The mark had been taken, and then the elbow came out, and he reached for him. If this is his first incident, I'd say, accidents can happen. But 11 incidents, you know, he's run past the ball repeatedly, he's kneed people, he broke the jaw of Reece Matheson, and then said, oh, well, he apologised to me, so that's all okay. I understand the tribunal doesn't accept his priors, but we, as the viewing public, we can judge his history and say, mate, that was a disgraceful act.
And also, Ralphie, there was a bit of an update today, wasn't there, from the Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
that doesn't help him.
No, maybe it's severe anyway. But Harris Andrews was back in hospital or in hospital. Yeah, felt bad after the game, felt even worse, and so went to hospital.
Yeah.
Some more tests there. Now, they've said he's in good spirits, which means nothing. But
means nothing.
You just wonder whether that's a concussion issue.
You can't tell me they Tuesday night.
That won't be, you can't
four
tell
weeks.
Me that won't be a... 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
I reckon the Lions 5. What do you think?
I'd love him to get 5. I think what a lot of people...
Bug got 5.
Well, that's okay.
Bugs was a far worse.
Yeah, what a lot of people are saying is Tom Jonas got 6 for a really deliberate elbow. Likely to happen, according to those in the know inside AFL House, is that he'll come in and say, I'm going to plead not guilty. And so the AFL will have a little discussion with him and say, we'll give you 5 weeks. And he'll say, oh, hang on.
What if I plead guilty?
It absolutely works that way, Mick. We're seeing all these negotiations. This is the AFL.
What do you think about
this? This is a plea dealing. And so they're saying he'll plead guilty to intentional conduct and he'll get 4 weeks, which is what...
Deal-making.
I don't love it. I would love to see, you know, players like Tom Hawkins before that before his little deal. I'd love to see them give their testimony and then it becomes a precedent. Whereas everyone else just wraps a nice little bow about it and says 4 weeks. That doesn't sit that well with
me.
Now, allegedly Luke Beveridge's spray could be heard through the carbon fibre walls of Etihad Stadium on Saturday night. Gee, that was that Mitch Wallace kick that just floated out in the floor. You could sense at that moment that the next 40 seconds weren't going to be pretty.
No, it was ordinary, wasn't it? And look, Sean Higgins was outstanding. He got involved in that plaster play. I mean, everything had to go right. But yeah, you can see why Luke Beveridge is so upset.
Yeah.
One, you know, from the defensive 50 stoppage, which Sean Higgins, you know, had played a big part in, and the ball spilled. You know, there's probably 20 or 30 moments where just one touch from a Bulldogs player would have changed the course in the game.
Yep.
And so I can understand why he was so upset. It was ridiculous of Luke Beveridge to suggest that the journo shouldn't listen to it.
He didn't really, did he?
Well, he sort of said, oh, well, you know, I don't know if you guys
shouldn't
be listening.
You can't say that. You're allowed to be in the
And maybe he realised that he was being a bit, you know, precious at that stage. But, yeah, I mean, Mitch Wallace, yeah, he keeps talking. Yeah. You know, he's played a bit of half forward. They're the kind of kicks that he needs to execute if he wants to be at the club next year.
Definitely.
I think, you know, Brisbane and Carlton and Essendon, I think he'd be one of those three clubs. He won't be at the Doggies, will he?
Really disappointing for the Dogs, Ralphie. But I guess, can I ask the flip side with North Melbourne? Yep. As we touched on before, they play Essendon on Sunday. These are the games they have to win, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, 8-point games, yep. Games like that where, you know, so often last year, I think they lost 6 games by under a goal.
Yep.
So these are the kind of games that are going to get them into the eight.
Happy for Mad Jack Dore. And you spoke about Stephenson. I love Ed Richards.
Ed Richards is a cracker. So is Norton.
Yep. So, in fact, if you're at the Yearling sales, I'm taking Ed Richards over Stephenson.
Are you really? The Rising Star.
No, ooh. I know he'll win the Rising
He's been
Star.
He's future
Star,
years.
I'm talking futures trading. Mm. Ed Richards looks like an Akamanis clone.
What about Jordan Ngoi? Now, I know Jordan was terrible today. Always quiet today. There's things that he does that are better than Dusty Martin. I know Dusty's got other skills, but he came out and he took a mark over Liam Jones. He just shunted him out of the way. And I thought to myself, when he's a fully formed package, he's going to be a midfield ball. He's going to be able to lead out from full forward. Yeah. You know, that aspect of him is better than Dusty. And I think if you're a Collingwood fan, just get on and buckle up for the ride because it's going to be fantastic.
Well, we want to be buckled up for the ride. We just want to make sure he's there.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And so round 15's coming up, so that's when he's supposed to be having talks. And a lot of people would tell you the talks have been going on in the background anyway. Yeah. I've always been really certain that he's going to stay. He wants to stay.
He's going to have to knock back big cash.
Yeah, but so do a lot of players, though, you know?
My gut feel personally is that he'll stay, but Collingwood will just have to pay up. They're going to have to cough up.
Yep, and if that's 800 grand for the next 2 years or with an incentive clause for a top five in a BNF, that's okay.
They're the players you can't lose.
No, spot on.
A lot of talk about the state of the game, but I love Friday night, Melbourne versus Port. That was just a really fierce contest. And Melbourne again fell short. Ralphie, they got to beat some top teams, don't they?
Yep. Yeah, it was interesting. Actually, Jesse Hogan came off the ground and he was saying, "You weak so-and-so," in a pretty strong language. And I think he was probably saying it to himself. Like, he was pretty disappointing.
He had a strange night.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. And so, look, I just think that was an example of the absolute anger that they knew that they'd butchered it. They were so far in control and they let it slip. And I know that's because the Port Adelaide were great, but... Yeah, let's not jump off Melbourne.
Good
run. But if you want to start winning flags, you've got to win those games.
They've got St Kilda, Fremantle, Western Bulldogs, then Geelong. So they've got a pretty good run. Then the Suns as well to come. So.
No, they'll be around the mark. And Port Adelaide, Ralphie, I guess for Port, it's Charlie Dixon has to be the one leading the charge for them to go deep into September. Do you agree?
I just think he plays a selfless role now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Jack Watts will get back in. I don't know how he went over the weekend. But, they're able to kick goals by throwing Rockliffe forward or by Robbie Gray forward and Wingard.
Lindsay Thomas plays well.
Lindsay Thomas even played well. Tackled someone and didn't, kill him. That was a really strong point.
All right, that's all we've got time for Super Footy Podcast.
Can I ask you one question, Mick?
I've got another stat for you too, Rafi.
Would you swap Dustin Martin for Charlie Curnow?
No.
Only in his third year, you're going to get 10 more years for him. He's a key position forward.
It's a midfielder's game.
Would you, John?
I'd have a really long time.
Hey, you would. This is the first time that Richmond and Collingwood have been in the top four together, I think, since the 1970s.
Could you imagine a grand final?
Could you imagine having a final between these two teams?
You guys will be working overtime.
We'll see you next week on the Super Footy Podcast.